T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's right. Here we are, Lincoln Financial Field, the 2024 NFL Draft. We are here for the Eagles draft show and draft party. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Ike Reese and Jack Fritz. And joining us until 6 p.m., he's doing double duty today. That is one Joe DeCamera.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, wait.
Slow down, Joe.
I screwed up.
Yeah, don't worry about it. We'll get it all together.
Okay, I
Joe,
screwed up.
Jack, Spike, relax over there. Holla at your boy, though.
There we go.
There we go.
There you go.
Now, yeah. I'm in a different spot. We're starting at a different time. I skipped the holler.
That was very disrespectful by Spike.
It certainly was.
My God.
Yes.
This guy over here, man. Right.
How are we doing? How's everyone doing?
It's a big night, man.
Huge night.
It's a massive night.
Now, speaking of disrespect to Ike, I actually have a specifically respectful moment for Ike that I'd like to start the show with. Could Joe, as a play-by-play guy, could you do play-by-play of this?
I've done a little bit, but not much.
All right.
He was the sole announcer.
I was. When I'm supposed to do play-by-play, what's Spike doing? Spike is taking his sweatshirt off. He's got an Eagles. He's got an Ike Reese 58 jersey on. Look at that, ladies and gentlemen.
I like that. Look at that.
Yeah.
Game used.
Game used.
Game used.
Right.
Why does it look
Game
like it kind of fits you, like kind of well?
Well, see, I was thinking about that. I put it on. It fits me the same. I think Ike might be a little small. I mean, honestly, your career might have been different if you were a little bigger. I mean, if we're the same size.
I tell you what that tells you. It tells you how tight we used to wear our jerseys back then.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
that's how it's form-fitting.
Yeah, yes. when you buy one from the store, even one of the authentics, it fits you like, you know, like you see somebody at the game. Like when you put on a football jersey, you put on one of these real game. It's even shaped weird. The sleeves are shaped weird.
Yeah,
everything's shaped
it's
weird.
It's tapered. It's tailored, man. I like that. Where'd you get that at?
You sold it at the when we did the garage sale. You had the game used jersey at the garage sale.
Yes.
I bought it then.
Yes. That's where all my jerseys went.
Yeah.
Spike bought them all.
Yeah. So, Ike, thinking about, I'm sure you've told this story 100 times, but thinking about draft day, thinking about what the experience is like for a player, what the experience was like for you, what do you remember about getting drafted, waiting for the moment, all those sorts of things? How did it happen?
So, this is fun every year for me to reflect and think back. I'm actually wearing my diamond pendant is something that's close and near and dear to my heart. That's a picture of me and my mom, and that is the actual draft day. That's the day I got drafted. That's the picture of us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, that we took that day, the day that I got drafted. And so, it was 26 years ago? 26 years, 27 years ago, I believe. It was awesome. Now, obviously, I was not drafted on the first night of the draft. I was drafted the second day. Now, back then, they had the Saturday, Sunday draft. So you had Saturday, which was more of a afternoon to evening draft, and then Sunday was more of a Sunday morning draft. So and my mother, against my agent's best wishes and mine, still threw a draft party the first day.
So it was a long
with the entire family over. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing like having a bunch of cousins and uncles try to be draft evaluators and tell you how great you were compared to the guys that got drafted already that day. They didn't realize how small that makes you feel on that day. But I'll tell you this, in all seriousness, I was the 142nd pick overall in the fifth round, and it felt like I was the number one overall pick. So when you hear your name called, when you see your name go across that monitor, it's a dream come true. I am one of those guys who I was actually a fan of the draft. I mean, I can remember the first draft that I saw was the 87 draft when Vinny Testaverde was the number one overall draft pick in 1987, I believe it was. So I had been a fan of the draft since I was a kid. And so to be a part of that moment and then to have your name called, it was a dream come true. And it's a day that I'll never forget. Like I said,
Who called you from the Eagles? And was it before ESPN said it?
Yes, it was before.
Or scrolled.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, it was before ESPN put it on the monitor.
Did they have to beep you for it?
What you mean?
Like send the beeper?
No, they called me. Shut up. Shut up, Jack. They called the house, and it was actually – you guys may not even remember him as an assistant coach, Jim Bowman. He was the I don't expect you, Jack. Again, shut up. You were like 5 years old at the time.
I didn't even say anything.
Oh, you said no.
He said no.
Me and Spike said no.
All right, so the point is that he was the tight ends coach for the Eagles at that time, but he had been the offensive line coach at Michigan State when I was there.
That's cool.
So he was the one who called me. He put Ray Rhodes on the phone, and then that's when Ray asked me, how would I like to be a Philadelphia Eagle? Something to that effect. And I was like, hell, are you kidding me, coach? Let's go. So the Eagles were actually one of the few teams I met with at the combine. So I actually went into a meeting, broke down coverage and all that stuff with Emmett Thomas. So I knew the Eagles were a team that had interest in me.
If it wasn't them, did you have a sense going into the draft about who was going to select you?
Tampa, Miami, possibly Pittsburgh.
And then the Eagles.
And the Eagles, yes.
Okay.
And the Eagles, yes.
Well, that's awesome. And it has all led you here. You played in the NFL, obviously a great accomplishment, but you've been on WIP a lot longer than
almost
you were in
twice
the NFL.
As long.
Yeah.
Almost twice as long.
So
this has been my 18th year.
Wow.
On WIP.
So, wow, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Catching up to the king there.
Yeah, well, now I got a long way to go to catch up to him. I will say it does sort of, behind Rhea, it sort of moves me into the up in the pecking order as far as longest tenured here, though.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. You've survived a lot of changes around here. A lot, yeah. So the Eagles have the 22nd pick tonight. There have been rumors, and Joe, I'll start with you. There have been rumors about the Eagles potentially trading up for a wide receiver or a tight end. First of all, they trade up for a skill position player. What do you think that means about the team, and do you think that is a real thing, or do you think it's just smoke?
It better be smoke. I think it's a joke. I mean, you know, you simply don't draft a wide receiver in the first round when you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, unless you're going to trade A.J. Brown, which I don't think they're going to do, but, of course, I wonder, you know, is there any of that in consideration? So I think the wide receiver talk is nonsense otherwise. I think the tight end talk is complete nonsense. And, you know, look, I said, Spike, when this season was over, meaning 2023, after the Tampa loss, I thought the defense required essentially a two-year rebuild. I don't think they can solve it all in 1 year, but they better get busy on it. To an extent, they already have. You know, I mean, I don't like the exchange of Reddick for Huff, but at least, you know, there is a younger element there. We'll see how good Huff is. But, you know, CJGJ obviously is a pretty darn big upgrade. But they got to do a lot more. I mean, I'm glad they have Devin White, but he's only on contract for a year. Sweat's only under contract for a year. Bradbury shouldn't be under contract. So, I think this team needs a lot on defense, which I think, frankly, makes it kind of easy for Howie to, you know, lock in on someone there. And I hope it's a defensive player.
Ike, do you think the trade up for an offensive skill player is just, you know, there have been a lot of rumors. You know, I'm focusing in on that one. There have been a lot of rumors. There's rumors that they're trading up and taking cornerback. There's rumors they're trading up and taking offensive lineman. But I think the one that was surprising for all of us was the skill position player. Do you think that's a real thing?
No, okay. I don't. And I don't know if that's just me hoping that it's not, I don't want to echo everything Joe just said, but he said a lot of things that ring true to me when you look at this Eagles team and how they should be approaching sort of rebuilding, reloading, whatever you want to call it, to add personnel to this team. And we are seemingly fine offensively. I mean, I said this, I believe, yesterday with you guys. There's probably 30 teams around this league that wish they had the offensive personnel that the Eagles had.
No question.
Right? Like, so there is no dire need to add offensive talent. To me, there's more of a dire need to add defensive talent. And, You're either going to start up front or you're going to start on the back end, right? As much as I love our linebackers, we understand that they are the least important of the groups on the defensive side of the ball. So if you don't have a player you love in the trenches up front, pass rusher, interior guy, then there has to be someone on the back end of the defense that you're in tune with. I like our safeties right now. Our corners, we're a little long in the tooth. We got some young guys behind them, but they're not proven guys yet. And for me, I just don't see how you don't take this opportunity to add not just one, but unless you use one of those second-round draft picks to trade up, I mean, I would add three defensive players with the first three picks. I'm certainly looking at two defensive players.
No, I agree. I mean, some of this comes back to what they believe in Tyler Steen and whether he can be
sure.
a starter. So we don't know their thinking there, and maybe he's not going to be a starter, and then guard is an area of need for the season in 4 or 5 months. But I'd say there's a spot also, Spike, I think has gotten so little discussion, and that's defensive tackle. And, you know, there's a player, Byron Murphy from Texas, considered the best interior defensive lineman in this draft, and also a penetrating-type defensive lineman, which, you know, if
and when you lose Cox.
Oh, boy.
I understand what you just did. But,
pause,
I mean, you know, if you think about it, guys, I mean, Fletcher Cox, and then prior to that, Hargrave. Like, Hargrave was awesome. Fletcher, I mean, they had 70 sacks two seasons ago, okay? 70 sacks. And Fletcher Cox and Hargrave and in his prime Reddick and in their prime cornerbacks were part of that as well. And the reality is, like, for all the talk about going up to getting a cornerback at 15, 14, 16, 17, that's also right where the best defensive tackle is supposed to go. And the fact that no one's talking about it leads me to believe it's possible it's a Howie smokescreen, that it didn't get out and he could go there. I mean, guys, they lost Cox
three
and Hargrave.
Defensive tackles?
You know what?
Three straight years.
But and Spike, it's a bad look, but it comes down to what do you think of Jordan Davis? And I know what I think of Jordan Davis. Not good enough. Not good enough.
I'll be disappointed if he stays at 22. Like, I don't want him to stay.
I kind of expect him to move up.
Yeah, I want him to go get a guy.
Well, that's I think a good question or a good talking point there is Jack was talking yesterday about their failures at this point in the draft. Is that bad luck, or can there be something about that sort of position in the draft that leads to them having bad evaluations?
I don't buy the position as much, meaning the spot in the 20s. Here's what I think is the basic bottom line, Spike. Howie Roseman has a chance to be an NFL Hall of Famer. All right, if the Eagles had won the Super Bowl against Kansas City, I think he'd have the inside track to be a Hall of Fame as a GM, which is hard to do. He could still get there. He's clearly one of the best. I think it's pretty obvious this deep into his tenure. While he's had some hits with the draft, I think the actual selecting of the players is his worst element as a GM. I think his cap maneuvering is great. I think his trades for what you would consider, hey, I think we got greater value with that trade. I think he's great. I think he's great at it. But when it just comes to the basic selecting in the draft, I think it's his weakest element. And I think we see that when you go year by year in the draft. Yeah, there have been some good ones, but, I mean, there have been some huge misses.
Well, I also think there's a lot we don't know about that process, which is interesting, as to who he's listening to in, like, of his
scouts. But
it's
his call in the end.
No.
Because they're his hires. Whoever he listens to, it's his hires.
I agree. I'm not saying it's not his fault. My question is who is he listening to? You know, who are the people that have had the hits? Who are the people who have the misses? Yeah. And then the other question is, if your lead guy or the guy that you always trust tells you one thing, but he decides to do another because of what he thinks, that could be an area that leads to the misses
I'm
as
sure.
well.
I'm sure. Frustrating.
Yeah. 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 So, wait, what was I just talking about? Oh, that point in the draft.
The
so more than anything, it is, yeah, I got it. So more than anything, it's bad luck that they do, but it's specific that point in the draft they've had so many failures.
I think there is something to having a smaller pool of talent to choose from and having to rely more on your evaluation of a player. There are some guys that are just sheer talent. There's a higher hit rate. There's a higher hit rate on a Devontae Smith, who's 5 years in college at Alabama, won the Heisman Trophy. There is less fail rate there, other than if you have a question about his size Everything else pretty much checked out with Devontae at number 10.
Well, Jalen Carter, too.
I was getting ready to say that. Jalen Carter as well. There's less of a chance for you to fail when you have that immense amount of talent and you're drafting that high. Lane Johnson, again, they hit on that guy. Fletcher Cox, they hit on him as the 12th pick. When you start to get in the late teens, 18, 22, 23, 24, depending on what position you're drafting, you may be getting the fifth or sixth best player at that position. And there is a much higher miss rate when you're drafting in the draft. That's why I think Howie recognizes this. It's not so much that he doesn't necessarily recognize talent. Everybody at that portion of the draft has a higher miss rate because the talent pool is less. That's why I think Howie likes to move up and get into that top 15 range where you can almost get a more likely to hit guy than a guy who's more likely to miss.
Well, and the other thing that I bet happens is later in the draft, I'm sure they are more willing to take a risk on somebody that they see has upside. But you get in the first round and you're sort of in that spot where everyone expects this person to contribute the first year. It doesn't feel like an upside guy, and you get locked into that thing where, do I take the player who I think has upside but might take a year or two to contribute as opposed to somebody who will contribute right away, which everyone expects from a first-round
pick. You know, one other element on this whole conversation, though, because I love, and I mean love, Devontae Smith. He's one of my two or three favorite Eagles. But, guys, let's not miss the fact. I mean, as great as he is, how he passed the Micah Parsons, who might end up being one of the three or four best defensive players this century. Okay, so like, you know, this century, Aaron Donald and this guy, like J.J. Watt, like Parsons ain't far behind that.
Sure.
And he went right after how he took Devontae. So, well, you know.
I remember me and Glenn that night, because I think that was COVID, because I remember being back at the station and we were doing the draft that night.
I was 21.
You guys were all in
different
rooms.
It was April of 21.
Yeah, we were all in different rooms that night.
I think Jillia was in the back, like, Angelina's studio.
Yeah.
Like, with the upper
studio. We were, like, all in different rooms. So I remember debating that night about Michael Parsons and whether or not you take a guy, a defensive player. And I'm like, dude, he's not Lawrence Taylor, but damn. I mean, he's close.
Now, I will say this.
Was that Richie's biggest miss?
Yeah, that was his biggest miss. It was. But I will say this, for whatever it's worth, I mean, getting – and, again, this is where I think Howie's so great, the contracts. Getting the next 5 years or whatever it is, 6 years or something, of Devontae at a, let's call it reasonable price, $75 million, when Micah Parsons is probably about to get $175
million. At least,
The whole thing is – you gotta view the whole spectrum. But, you know, you get what I'm saying.
It was the right move for the Eagles then.
It was a major area of need.
Yes.
But back to the point when, you know, like I brought up Byron Murphy and you said, another defensive tackle.
Sure.
Guys, let's remember the two drafts before the Eagles drafted Devontae Smith. Second rounder J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, bust. First rounder Jalen Reagor, bust. I mean, listen, I believe in Jalen Carter, although it's disappointing.
2 years before that, Nelson.
And that's right. Yeah. So, like, you know, if Jordan Davis isn't a dude that they think is a guy for the long haul, let alone excellence in the short haul, I mean, for all the talk about, and there's been so much talk at the national and local level, man, when all is said and done, the Eagles come back to the line. They come back to the line.
Sure.
Well, there's two lines.
Yep.
There's the O-line we've spent a ton of time talking about, and the D-line we've spent no time talking about. I think it's more in play than people have been saying.
Well, you know, and we'll get to the defense overall and the need for defense in this draft based on what has happened this offseason. We'll get to that in a second. We're broadcasting live from the Eagles draft party at the Link, 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia. It is the WIP afternoon show. Spike Eskin, Ike Reese, and Jack Fritz, and Joe DeCamera with us as well. On some level, the need that you guys are feeling for a defensive player in the first round, no matter what the position, is a reflection upon the rest of the offseason and the job that Howie's done. So he has added players. A lot of them are, we're not sure what we'll get out of them, whether it's an injury question or it's a performance question. What do you think of the job that Howie's done on the defense this offseason leading up to this point?
Listen, I like what he's done. I really do. You know, Bryce Huff, we'll see whether or not he could play to the level of Hassan Reddick. But I understand their thought process behind going after a guy like Bryce Huff. They didn't overpay for him. I would have liked to have seen them retain Hassan Reddick along with Bryce Huff. I still don't understand why they couldn't do that. But bringing CJ GJ back, I wanted them to re-sign him last year. They brought him back this year. I'm okay with that. He's only 26 years old. Devin White as a linebacker. You're talking about a low-risk, high-reward type of a signing. If he's great, you got him for a year, you decide what to do with him after this year. He's only 26 years old. You're talking about a top-five draft pick when he came out of college just a few years ago. So I like what they've done there. I like some of the things they've done defensively. Here's where my concern is that they need more players. Like, once they got through free agency, my thought process became, okay, how do we continue to build this defense, not just for this year, but even the year after? If Slayer's going to come back, if Bradbury's going to be here, whatever, okay, those are going to be your starters. If we're going to go to the Super Bowl, those are going to be the guys that are there if they're healthy. But it's not just about this year for me. It's about also having guys in the fold that can step in there and keep our championship aspirations at the same level, if not higher, moving forward. I liken it to when we drafted Lito Sheldon and Mike Lewis, when we were a championship contending team with Pro Bowl corners. Like, we literally had Al, Bobby, and Troy
and
on the team.
2 years left on the deals for Troy and Bobby.
Yeah.
2 years left.
So, like, they wind up staying through 2003, but the Eagles drafted those young guys prepared that if they needed to move on from those guys in 2003, they would have the guys there.
Yep.
It benefited them. We went to the Super Bowl with Lito and Sheldon as our starting corners 2 years after they drafted
them. No question.
2 years after they drafted them, they were our starting corners on the Super Bowl team.
Well, you know, so just for what it's worth, this is something that Rich and
Mike, I'm sorry, and Mike was our starting safety.
Totally was. So
Mike Lewis.
This is an issue, just for what it's worth, Rich and I touched on in the morning show recently. It never gets discussed, but it's worth saying. So as much as I love Sheldon and Lito, total respect for those guys. I mean, you do have to wonder if they had gotten plug and play in 03 or 02 with those picks, maybe the Eagles would have won the Super Bowl in 02 or 03. I mean, they literally drafted an
Not in 02. That defense was too good in 02. Nobody was getting on that defense.
No, but it could have been, I'm saying, in that case, an offensive player.
Right, I see what you're
saying. You know, like,
right.
Spike, with a Super Bowl-ready type team, after 01, you know, 02, 03, two guys got drafted that, other than nickel in their second year, didn't play until year three.
Well, but you could also make the argument that they are not the players that they are if they don't go through the process of development that they went through.
Well, part of Joe's point is that they could have drafted somebody on the offensive side at that time that could have contributed.
But let me bring
So it's like the reverse of what we're doing right now.
But let me bring this to the
present. I see what you're saying.
Here's what I'll really get at when we talk about that issue. I don't think this current team is as close to the Super Bowl as that team was then. I mean, you know, what I talked about as far as drafting, you know, for viewing the long haul as a strong consideration. I mean, I got to tell you guys, with the way Jalen played in 2023, and I know this is funky because we just saw him almost win a Super Bowl in 2022, but, I mean, I've got serious doubt of whether the Eagles really are elite. I know we want them to be, but are they really?
I'll say this, depending on how the quarterback plays, yes. And I'll say this, this offense on paper is better than any offense I played with other than 2004. Not even close.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, is the quarterback going to get under center and be effective?
Well,
because we saw defenses make adjustments to what he was great at.
Yeah.
Great for him for being as great at that as he was. Good by opposing defenses for finally adjusting. It's time for the counterpunch. Does he have it?
I believe he does. I do. Listen, this kid has been able to adjust and learn throughout his entire career. He's never been the guy with the biggest arm, the fastest, the tallest, any of those things. It's his intangibles, his ability to learn, process information that has allowed him to be successful. To go from transferring to Alabama to picking up that offense in Oklahoma and becoming a Heisman runner-up. He was never the Heisman runner-up at Alabama, but he went to Oklahoma in 1 year and became the Heisman runner-up. He adjusted to the offense here, and in his second year, his first full year or his second full year as a starter, he was a MVP runner-up and had his team in the Super Bowl. And I understand he had talent around him, but there's something about his play, how he plays, his decision-making that's upper echelon that gives his teams, in most cases, a chance to win. And this level of talent he has around him right now has to be very similar to what he played with in college. He played with CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma. Did he play with Mark Andrews? With CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma. But in Alabama, we know all the receivers he had at Alabama, including DeVonta Smith. I mean, this is a great offense, man. Like, this has the potential to be the best offense in all of football this year.
And I don't want to turn it into a huge, you know, Jalen Hurts debate. I think here would be my concern, aside from his play last year. You said that, one, that the thing that we like best about him are the intangibles. Well, that is the thing that was questioned all offseason. So that's my worry, is that it's not like he doesn't have any physical tools, but primarily. There are faster runners, there are guys with bigger arms, blah, 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 blah. So the one thing that was questioned all offseason was his intangibles. And the second thing that just makes me nervous is that, and it sounds unlikely, but it does happen. In the last 25 years in the NFL, there are several cases of a quarterback being effective for a year or two, and then it just sort of going away not finding it again. That's my concern. I don't know what's going to happen. I honestly have no idea. We've seen so many different versions of him, and we had it was amazing because his first, as he started up through the Super Bowl year, we had one specific belief about who he was, what he was capable of, and what he would become. And last year, down the stretch, and the offseason, has shaken that in a way that I did not expect for it to be shaken. So my expectations, I think what is left for me is what happened last year. So I have my gut tells me, this ain't going to work, because it was the last thing I saw. When I take all of it, it makes even more confusing because I cannot figure out which person
he is. Well, I think confusing is the right word, Spike. I mean, listen, we all hope he can bounce back and lead this organization for 10 years. He is the guy. I'm going to give you two facts. He probably played one of the greatest games ever by a quarterback who lost the Super Bowl. I mean, he was so close to being the MVP of that game, okay? Mm-hmm. Number two, last year, not only did he regress dramatically, he took a safety in a playoff game in which the ball was snapped on the 14-yard line and somehow it turned into a safety. That's a disaster. So, you know, he requires obviously a lot of drill down from the coaching staff. And frankly, I think some major adjustment, which is how they attack it. Because much like the Chip Kelly thing, we saw a quick adjustment by the league and then it hit a brick wall. And Jalen and the coaching staff got to get in the lab and figure out how to counter.
So then Jack, I'll pose this to you. Howard Eskin reports earlier today that the Eagles have had preliminary talks with A.J. Brown's agent about an extension. I think it's a Hurts question, too, because there have been, you know, many questions, and all fair, by the way, and none of them have been thrown water on, about the relationship between Hurts and A.J. Brown. So you hear, Jack, they are working on an extension with A.J. Brown. What is the first thing you think?
My first thought is Howard is really taking Insider of the Year very seriously.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a moment.
I mean, one day in, and he's already breaking some preliminary talks.
To the victor go the spoils.
Yeah,
so
no,
we'll see.
I'm proud of Howard.
Yeah.
My first instinct is good. If it was they weren't going to do the extension thing, then that means that something is wrong here. That these guys aren't able to work through whatever they might be.
Spike's thinking something else. I know exactly what Spike's thinking.
Well, I mean, to me, who knows what's going on between those guys? But to me, it says both things. One, that he is, that they've talked about an extension. Two, that the news is out there. It is a message to Jalen Hurts. It is, you don't get to pick who's on this football team because of your relationships. You better figure it out. He is a talented player. He is debatably he's one of the three to five. No, I was going to say in the NFL as a receiver.
Yeah.
One of the three to five best receivers in the NFL.
Yeah.
And guess what, Jalen? Every star wide receiver in the NFL is a pain in the ass.
Yep.
Every single one of them. So if you just think because he's a pain in the ass and you guys don't get along that you're going to have to that we're going to have to do something about it. So I don't even know if they're going to sign him to an extension. I think the news is as notable as whether they do it or not.
Well,
that's what I was
thinking. It's massive, and I think particularly for an organization, I mean, we've obviously spent a lot of time in recent days, including today, talking about what they're going to do in round one. But, you know, this is an organization that drafted Kevin Cobb in the second round, Nick Foles in the third round, and Jalen Hurts in the second round when they had an established starting quarterback. So, you know, and by the way, other than Cobb, I mean, some stuff worked out really well there with those picks. Now, Kenny Pickett kind of could change that equation as a younger backup quarterback. But I do wonder, are they of the mindset, if let's say the Russell Wilson year manifests in the next 2 days, and there's a guy in the third round or the second round that they really like, are they that down on Jalen? I tend to think not, but I wonder.
To take a quarterback?
And I connect that with the A.J. Brown contract talk, and it makes me – I mean, listen, Spike, your father, after the season ended, I said, and some people thought I was crazy. I didn't think I was. After the Tampa loss, I said on WIP, I don't think Jalen, if I had a guess, will be the Eagles starting quarterback in 2026. Okay, six. That's 24 season happens, 25 season happens. All right, time to turn the page. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he plays his way into being here in a while, for a long while. Your dad, about a month after that, said he thinks Jalen is playing for his job in 2024 and that he won't be the quarterback in 2025 unless he has a quality season.
Well, and you know why that's meaningful. That's meaningful because if he is saying
correct.
It. Correct. Okay. Not that everything he says is right, but if he is saying it, you have to guess that there's somebody else who said that to him, you know, from...
That's my point. Yes, right. And that's my point.
That is... What, Ike, what was your first thought when you heard about the AJ extension? Now, I know you're a fan of his as a player, for sure.
Sure.
How did you feel when you heard about that news?
I was excited. I'm like, what the hell is Howie doing? How does he get this done? I didn't even know how they can get this done. First of all, I'd be shocked if AJ does a deal before the rest of those guys do a deal. Meaning Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and all those guys, just to see where their money is at compared to his money. Unless the Eagles, I don't think the Eagles would get away with giving AJ a deal like they got with Devontae Smith.
No, probably not.
Which was
not
a team-friendly deal.
Well, maybe if it was $1 more than Devontae Smith, maybe that he'd sign it.
So I was excited and encouraged by it, and a little bit surprised. I'm still a little bit in the clouds as to how can they pay two wide receivers top wide receiver money along with a quarterback. You got a running back that you're paying $13 million a year. Like, you got offensive linemen. You got three of them that you're paying almost $20 million a year. I guess Howie knows how to make this work.
Because it's confused me for years.
Yeah.
Like, Elliot keeps bringing up this point, and it sounds like it makes sense. That it has to do with the signing bonuses and the big checks Lurie is willing to write that a lot of other owners aren't willing to put out that cash
right away.
And that it leads to a salary cap that then benefits the Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's something they know what they're
doing. I mean, Ross Tucker said on our show either last week or this week that he literally talked to a general manager in football, not the Eagles GM, an opposing GM from a smaller market, who specifically said to Ross, the Eagles have a huge advantage because of the way Jeffrey Lurie spends cash.
I'm sure. The thing, though, is that Elliott always says, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. They'll figure it out. But they still make decisions based on
– Have to.
So
sure.
There's a limit.
Yeah, sure.
The hard thing
Ike's an example in 05.
Yeah.
I mean, Ike wasn't here because the Atlanta Falcons offered more money. I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, there is a point where – you don't have an unlimited amount of cash.
So yeah. And Ike was past that point. So if you want to talk about the draft, there's 215-592-9494 now. Jack did mention, and we have to talk about this here.
Yes,
Jack did
mention
Eagles Insider of the Year.
Hotly contested.
Yeah, so we debuted the first Eagles Insider of the Year power rankings yesterday on the show. Now, the rules are this. Joe, I don't know if you heard the rules, and Ike obviously missed yesterday's show, but here is what contributes to the Eagles Insider of the Year. Okay. A, all reports must be public. So you can't text one of us and tell us that something's going to happen.
Of course.
That doesn't count. Yeah. Second, correct reports count positively, but also wrong reports count negatively, toward the Eagles Insider.
That's going to hurt your father.
Well, look, who knows? Who knows if he changes his strategy?
Well,
he
might
change his strategy.
Listen, I'm not saying I'm rooting for A.J. Brown to get traded, but for Insider of the Year purposes, yes, I would take him getting traded.
Because then Howard would be wrong.
He said 0% chance this morning.
Right,
0%?
Now, also to go into our power rankings, too much time with no reports at all counts negatively.
Yeah, you got to be active.
Yes, you have to be active, absolutely. Yeah. Reports about other teams do not count. You lose points for attacking a member of the WIP air staff in any way.
Wow. Like calling him Captain Clickbait.
I'm just saying,
wow.
There could be infighting, right? So I'm just saying, if you attack any member of the WIP staff, you lose points. Battles in between insiders are legal, but remember, you have to remember if you attack a WIP person. And also, and finally, informed speculation does not count. So you can't say, I think this is going to happen, then it happens. You don't get credit for that.
That's not a report.
So the initial power rankings, number 5, Jeff McClain.
Yep.
Number 4, Elliot Shore Parks, who has just joined us here at the Link. Number 3, Johnny Airport, John Clark. And tied at 1 in the initial power rankings. Now, this goes until after Eagles season. So after the Eagles play their last game, that's when we'll name the winner. Tied for number 1, Howard Eskin and D. Gunn. Ike, how are you feeling?
Well, I mean, I don't like the fact that Elliot's only number 4 on this list.
When was the last time he broke his story?
Well, I don't even care about the last time he broke his story. He is sort of right the majority of the time when he puts something out there about the Eagles.
Doesn't sound like it when you're on with them.
I'm just saying, well.
Informed speculation.
Well, that's a report. That's not actually knowing what the hell is happening on the field. That's two totally different things. Johnny Airport, I love John Clark.
Yeah.
But, other than catching a guy coming off the plane, I don't really get any news breaks.
Well, I don't know. It's more news breaks than Elliot. I love Elliot, but he hasn't broken it. And this is just to remember, this is only the first. We've had a lot of feedback from members in the media.
And by the way,
this is just the first power ranking.
Listen, I love D-Gun, too.
Yes.
I love D-Gun. But, I mean, D-Gun, he's.
Well, he had a big old swing and a miss on the Reddick situation.
Exactly.
But
right.
So did Howard.
Yeah, but Elliot didn't.
But Elliot didn't have a report.
Elliot had informed speculation.
But he had informed. But Elliot was always of the mind that Hassan probably was not going to be here.
But put some gumption behind it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
He's kind of like Embiid looking down the other night.
No, here's what I'll do. I'll give him more credit for not putting something out there just to put something out there versus something that was put out there to imply that the guy wasn't going anywhere and he was going to be here. And then the complete opposite happens.
It just feels like
major,
Elliot's
major
trying.
Points
but can I just weigh in on something here?
Yes,
because I'm enjoying all this. So but I just want to say this. I will crown the champion.
Okay? Oh, you will?
Independent of anything. Yeah, I will.
Oh,
well, morning show will take
relax.
This over.
No, but this is our bid.
Hold on. The morning show takes part in no other station bids.
Let me
come up with one.
Let me tell you this. Independent of anything else that happens in the whole year.
Yeah.
Whoever tells us what's really going on with Jalen Hurts
and A.J. Brown.
And that's where Howard.
That
would be
huge. That, whoever gets that wins.
Okay.
Period.
Can I tell you my
that would be.
Right?
That's where Howard
loses
a ton.
By the way, I'm not really crowning. I'm just –
I like the fact you bullied your way in there.
Throw the gauntlet down.
It would be huge. Here's my thought on that, though, and here's why it's tricky. I believe at least one – I believe multiple people know and that they don't want to go public with it because they've been told – with the caveat that this can't go public, there's no way people don't know. There's just no way. There's no way. So the question is, who wants this award the most?
Right.
Who wants it?
Except,
who wants the trophy?
Except if McClain breaks it.
No, that's not going to count.
Then it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't count.
Yeah. If there was a number below 5, that's what.
Yeah, but I will say, like, this is where Howard, he's in a tricky spot with the Hurts thing because he's gone so hard at, like, nothing's wrong.
Yeah.
Everything's fine. they're great.
Look, he was a don't spend money on running backs guy. He was a don't draft running backs guy, yeah. But then he had the Saquon story. So
no, I kind of had the Saquon thing before him.
But yeah, you did inform speculation.
Yeah,
that counts.
Not in the rules. not in the rules.
The Twitter question of the day is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. It's engagement season. Shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with diamond engagement rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. What position do you want the Eagles to draft tonight in the first round? 67% say cornerback, 18% offensive line.
That's all about me, too, by the way.
You have pushed that.
Come on, man.
Go get Brock Bowers.
Now, we all know I am the best draft Nick here, that I'm the football guy.
YouTube big board.
I will reveal my Eagles YouTube big board, top three of who I want them to get in the draft. Of course, I've done positions, but my Eagles YouTube big board is next on the afternoon show at the Eagles draft party at the Link on 94 WIP.
Well, listen, it's draft season. It's also appliance season. And when you think of appliances, you think of Jack Fritz. And where does Jack Fritz go to get his appliances? National Appliance Warehouse in Tax-Free Wilmington, the home of both great low prices, price assured, and fantastic first-class customer service. Customer service means a lot to National Appliance Warehouse. They look to take care of you. Second you walk in the door, they have a rule, 8 seconds or less. They will come and take care of you with any questions that you have. Or if you're like me and you don't know what you're looking for, they will help guide you in the right directions. First-class customer experience in their huge showroom, 15,000 square feet, over 100 brands, premium, all of the good stuff down at National Appliance Warehouse. And you'll get the lowest price, not just because of Tax-Free Wilmington, but you will also get the lowest price because of Price Assure. If you've heard me talk about Price Assure, it is revolutionary. If there is a lower price elsewhere, Price Assure will instantly update the tag in the store to make sure you are getting the lowest price possible. It's phenomenal. Was down there a couple weeks ago, saw it with my own eyes. So get down to National Appliance Warehouse today in Tax-Free Wilmington. You can save even more. You can save 35% on GE appliances. GE appliances are hot right now. Get down there for the GE Cafe, GE Profile, Monogram Appliances. Click NationalAppliancesWarehouse.com. Visit the showroom in Tax-Free Wilmington. And when you go, tell them Jack Fritz sent you.
We sure are. It is the Eagles Draft Show live from the Link for the Eagles Draft Party. I'm Spike Eskin, along with Ike Reese, Jack Fritz, and joining us, Joe DeCamera. This hour, sponsored by Guided Door and Window. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. Now, it is the Eagles Draft Show. However, we will, in a few minutes, spend a little bit talking about tonight's Game 3. I know there's probably people on the way here.
Big game.
Big game.
Must win.
Yes, we're finally at must-win territory. Absolutely.
Welcome aboard.
Yep. But before then, I've been doing all week and last week my YouTube big board for the NFL draft. I've always done it with the NBA draft. I, of course, do not watch any college sports. I detest college sports, but I do my scouting only by watching YouTube highlights of the players. So we've done positions. We've done cornerback. We've done offensive line. We've done quarterback, wide receiver. Today, I am giving my Eagles YouTube big board. Now, this is regardless of round. I don't care where they've selected. These are just the three players I want in order. Here it is, the YouTube big board.
Sam Hinkie could run the draft for the Eagles, and they would be fine.
It's Spike.
Maybe even better off.
Versus the Scouts.
Here's a team that needed a franchise quarterback.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper?
The Spike Eskin YouTube Big Board.
I watched a lot of YouTube.
All right. You ready for this, Ike?
Let's go, baby.
Okay. Number three of guys I want the Eagles to come away with in the draft is Spencer Rattler of the University of South Carolina.
Correct.
He is, I'm telling you, I've watched quarterbacks for 30 years.
He's 47.
I know. Well, I didn't specifically watch quarterbacks when I was like a teenager, but I've been watching, you know, specifically and intently.
Got you.
I'm telling you, the guy can play. And to Joe's point earlier, the Eagles have always selected quarterbacks when they already have quarterbacks. Rattler is fine to have here for a year or two. I'm telling you, the guy can play. I would love if they could. Now, second, I wouldn't mind Bo Nix, but if I can have one quarterback, it's Spencer Rattler.
Well, it depends on what round they would get him in.
Two?
No, there's no way in hell they should be drafting
a
quarterback.
Imagine what a controversy that
would
be. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, no.
I remember 2020. It was amazing. It was one of the best nights ever. Yeah.
Yeah, I am not in favor. I like Spencer Rattler, though, but that was prior to the Eagles trading for Two Gloves Pickett. I don't really see the point in going out and getting Spencer Rattler.
QB factory. We're going to have as many as possible.
QB, get as many quarterbacks as possible.
Yeah. Number two on my Eagles YouTube big board, Ike, you'll like this one. Out of Clemson, cornerback Nate Wiggins.
I should say Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
No. I mean, it would be nice if we get him, but he would be number four.
Okay.
Number two, Nate Wiggins. As I said yesterday, outrageous athlete for a cornerback, I feel like, is a playmaker. Would love to have a playmaker. Somebody tweeted at me, the guy can't tackle. I don't care. He's a cornerback.
Exactly.
But you will care if you see it every game.
But you know what? You realize it after they're gone. That I was like, Asante Samuel is a perfect example of this. All we did was complain that he wouldn't tackle anyone. And then as soon as he was gone, I was like, I wish we had Asante Samuel.
Not me.
I want him to intercept passes, defend passes. That's what I want him to do. I don't care if he have the other guys make the tackles. Number one on my Eagles YouTube big board, tackle out of Georgia, Amarius Mims.
Is huge.
He is a monster, this guy. Having a guy that tall playing guard, I don't know if he could do that for a couple of years.
Jalen Hurts couldn't pass over him, all right?
But
Jalen Hurts is like 6 feet tall.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts runs to the side and passes to the side anyway. He could just look off to the side. This guy, you know, we were talking to Baldy yesterday about Lane Johnson's future, and he said, you know, if he's healthy, he could see him playing 4 more years. Lane Johnson's hurt a lot. There's worse things to have. And by the way, he misses a few games every year. Have this guy grow within the team. They did it with – now, obviously, Jordan Mailata was a late-round pick and was a project. But this guy is a monster. They need great football players. He's going to be a great football player. Amarius Mims.
Don't like it. Look, I think DeAndre
– hate it.
Andre
Dillard. Hate
wrong.
It.
You're all
like,
wrong.
Andre Dillard works against that pick because Andre Dillard couldn't move to the right side and he couldn't play guard. It wasn't that Andre Dillard couldn't be an okay left tackle. There was no spot for him. I hate the idea of an offensive lineman that can't start at guard and move to tackle for this team right now.
Yeah.
I don't care what you hate, Joe. This is my YouTube big board.
As a matter of fact, this might be the worst big board you had all week.
But you like the other two guys.
Because they were on a board with a quarterback and a cornerback.
Yeah.
But to have them as these are three guys you must have coming out of the draft.
We'll see.
This weekend for the Eagles. Well, Nate Wiggins I like.
Yes, I know you like Nate.
Yeah, Nate Wiggins I like.
I put that in as Ike.
Well, I'll tell you
the
guys.
Spencer Rattler, no.
on Nate Wiggins, for those that haven't, you know, because I know not everyone follows this stuff hardcore.
And you do?
I do. Every Saturday, all I do is college football.
So do I
think Nate Wiggins is the single most likely player the Eagles will draft if they stay at 22.
Winless for Wiggins, I agree.
If
they stay at 22, Nate Wiggins is the primary guy they'll probably get.
Is that informed speculation?
I suppose.
Do you want to be on Insider of the Year?
You know what?
Do you want to say report?
I'm busy.
Okay. All right. I will say this. I know the Toledo kid. Is like the number one corner, it seems like.
Nah, he can't. He played in Toledo.
He's not
a real college.
Darren Arnold's the number one corner. Yeah.
I would be nervous about Howie picking a Toledo cornerback. Like, I think they've had a pretty good run here. Stay in the SEC. Stay in the Big Ten.
Stay safe.
Like, you're telling me that.
Pretty good run. Jordan Davis
stinks.
Is a borderline bust. Nolan Smith maybe can't play.
Stinks.
N'Kobe Dean has been a disappointment.
Stinks.
I mean, so. Come on,
oh,
man.
No, Joe, yeah, you two are agreeing with each other.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask a quick question, because I do think
but if they take a Toledo corner and it backfires, Howie's getting mocked for years.
I think this shapes the night to an extent. Give me everyone's answer to this. Whose future do you believe in more, Nolan Smith or Jordan Davis? What I'm getting at is which position would they be more likely to draft? So Nolan Smith or Jordan Davis, who do you believe in more?
I would say Jordan Davis.
That's tough. Because I haven't seen Nolan Smith enough. I mean, I believe in the outside pass rusher position more than I do a run-stuffing defensive tackle. But I've seen more of Jordan Davis than I've seen of Nolan Smith. I'll go with Jordan Davis.
Jack?
Jordan Davis. which is I don't believe in either.
He
frankly.
Did nothing in the final 10 games other than one play when he traced down Josh Allen for one play.
But there were a ton of players that didn't do anything for the final part of the season.
Yeah, but that was a long stretch for him. I mean, he looked really good for about a month and a half. I mean, just remember, Spike, 17-game season, 18 when you include the playoffs, he did something for like six games and nothing for 12, roughly. That's not good, man.
I guess my problem with Nolan Smith, I think he's small. Like, I know he's technically the same size as Hassan Reddick, but he looks way smaller than Hassan Reddick. He got hurt in college a lot. And then, like, in preseason, he got hurt. He got hurt in one of the games, missed a ton of time. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to be healthy enough because he might be too small.
And one more thing on that position, because I know there's some talk about edge rusher if guys come near them. You can't draft an edge rusher in the first round unless they make a trade.
Why?
Because you already have Josh Sweat, Bryce Huff, Brandon Graham and Nolan Smith. I don't need a fifth guy.
Yeah, but
Bryce, what if the fifth guy is your second best pass rusher?
Well, then trade Josh Sweat. I'm just saying. I mean, then you shouldn't have brought back Brandon Graham. I mean, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying I don't need someone who's one of five at a position when you play two on any particular play.
That's all I'm saying. I disagree with that.
I think Josh Sweat would be the guy they trade.
Isn't the real question, though, whether they do think Huff can play more as a percentage of snaps than he did
he
with
better,
the Jets.
Spike. They just gave him $50 million. He better play 75% of the snaps. I mean, come on, man. He just got traded for Hassan Reddick. That's no joke. Look, I'll tell you this, man. Two guys better be right. Joel Embiid better be right about winning the series because he freaking said it two nights ago.
Well, sort of.
And Howie Roseman better be right on Bryce Huff because he freaking traded Hassan Reddick for him.
Well, and also, you know, you guys mentioned earlier what would raise somebody in the – Joe, you mentioned earlier, what would raise somebody in the Eagles' inside of the year rankings, that being, you know, finding out the story between A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. There's also a story with Hassan Reddick. I'm sorry. There has to be something there. That would also be a huge Eagles' inside of the year thing. If there's something – it has to be more than he wanted a contract. Lots of guys want contracts.
It's too bizarre.
And he doesn't have a contract. Now, I think he's going to get a contract with the Jets, by the way. But he doesn't have a contract there yet either.
Wait,
so
is that Jets' insider of the year?
Well.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Informed speculation.
Okay, good.
Informed speculation. Yeah. I think he'll get a deal up there. Now, Joe, you mentioned, obviously, this is the Eagles draft show from the link, from the draft party. Joe did mention Joel Embiid. We have to take a few minutes to talk about tonight's Game 3. The Sixers down 2-0. Coming home for Game 3. Now, they're 5-point favorites, which tells you that, you know, the lines makers do think they're going to win. The Knicks were 4.5-point favorites, I think, to open up Game 1 and 5.5 to open up Game 2. That's a pretty big swing. It's a 10-point swing. I do believe that they'll win tonight, and I do believe that it changes the outlook of the entire series. Now, obviously, one win rather than no wins changes it, but the first two games were so close. This isn't that they got blown out the first two games and you come home, you win the home game, and then you lose in five games. That happens all the time. The first two games were so close. And Jack keeps making fun of the way that Joel Embiid looked when he said what he said. I'm putting that aside. There's something going on with his eye. I take the way that he sounded. And he sounded in a way that does not sound to me the way that he sounded before. He sounded more confident than he sounded before, and I do believe that he believes it. And even as compromised as he is physically, him believing it is a meaningful thing. Because as compromised as he was the best player on the floor, I think, for two games. I don't even think it's too debatable that he was the most important player on the floor. If he believes they can do it, I believe they can do it.
Well, they certainly can do it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind the Sixers can still win this thing. Now, it's a tall order when you're in a hole like this. Spike, I'll tell you this, man, because I know there's some people ripping Joel. I give him credit for, in my opinion, fighting through adversity more this year than I think he ever has.
Absolutely.
I mean,
totally.
I think he's busting his butt out there.
Yes.
He really is. And it's a shame that, you know, in the fourth quarter, there's a lag. I mean, there's a clear lag, and we don't know that he'll be able to sustain for 40 minutes or not. We just don't know. But to this point, he hasn't been. That has been a factor, clearly. But, God, he needs some help from him and Maxie need help from other guys.
Don't worry. Tobias is there.
Sure. He's there.
He's been there for 5 years.
Yeah. Spike, I got to look at Oubre tonight because I can't expect to get it from Tobias. Kelly Oubre is a talented offensive player.
It's Oubre's turn tonight.
It's Oubre's turn. Come on, man. You are a good offensive player. Go show it.
Well, the problem with Oubre as an offensive player is that he is the sort of offensive player that it works in the regular season. He's low efficiency offensive player, right? He doesn't shoot that well from outside. He needs a lot of shots to make it happen. And I think he's being asked. He's guarding Brunson a lot.
And he's doing a great job at
and
that.
And he's doing a great job at it. But I do think that a game, he gets a game with 16 points or 18 points. It changes. I just think it changes the complexion of the game.
Okay, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to have said this to Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey prior to tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take nearly 30 shots apiece. Let somebody else shoot the basketball. You can't have as many field goal attempts as those two players have and expect role players to be in the game. They need shots. You talk about Kelly Oubre. You know why Kelly Oubre was good? Because Joel Embiid wasn't playing during those games. Because he knew he was going to get shots. He knew he could break the offense and get a shot versus everybody has to defer to Embiid and Maxey. And you have to wait and see when you can get a shot. You go 3, 4, 5 minutes without shooting the basketball, and then you get a shot at the end of the shot clock, everybody expects you to make it. That goes for every role player on the team besides Cal Lowry, who's the point guard. They got to figure out a balance of getting shots for the other guys. Embiid can get 30 points without taking 29 shots.
Can I tell you this, though,
yeah.
on Oubre and that? I think one big difference, because he did excel without Embiid, but he was also very good with Embiid at the beginning
The year. That's right.
He was scoring a lot off of cuts. And by the way, Embiid has found him a bunch of time passing. He has done that. I think one thing that's happening is he hasn't been in the playoffs in 7 years, and this Knicks team is incredibly physical. Defensively, they're physical, and I think guys like him, guys like Tobias, guys like, by the way, Buddy Hield, who – I've defended.
Do we really expect anything from Buddy Hield?
No, not now. But yeah. I've defended Oubre. That was an enormous, That was an enormous swing and a miss.
Yeah.
Buddy Hield. I think that the physical nature of how the Knicks are defending, I think, is taking guys like that out of what they're doing, because I think they're getting pushed around a little bit. I don't think Maxey's getting pushed around. I don't think Joel's getting pushed around. But I do think guys like Tobias, guys like Oubre, are getting pushed around. And there was. It looks like Melton is going to play a little bit tonight. They could get 10 or 15 minutes out of him. That means you don't even have to have Hield on the court at all. But I agree with you, Ike, in that they need shots. But I also agree that guys like that who are not used to, you know, Hield's never played in the playoffs before. Oubre hasn't played in the playoffs in 7 years. Guys that are not used to the way that the game is played now at this level have to, and this is where coming home helps, you know, having, even though I'm sure that the crowd's going to be 35% Knicks fans tonight, I think being at home will help those guys, but they got to fight through it, because the team that they're playing is willing to fight.
Well, and
they've shown you that.
They got to keep those guys involved. I'm telling you, the Knicks are winning. You look at their shot attempts. I mean, Brunson is shooting 20 sometimes, but the other guys, it's 3, 4 other guys with double-digit field goal attempts. Like, so they're getting, even Ananobi, who's not scoring a bunch, he's getting his 10 shots, 11 shots a game. Like, even the kid off the bench who keeps scoring points.
Deuce McBride.
Like, these guys are getting shots. And I think it would help Embiid and Maxey. Now, Maxey needs to turn it on when he needs to turn it on. But I think with Joel, I don't need Joel Embiid to shoot 30 times for us to win. Like, he doesn't need to score 40 points for us to win. Sound like OG Wade.
Well,
right,
like,
now.
I'll say this on that.
I sound like OG Wade.
You do.
Right now.
No, you got five guys in double figures.
But if he gives us 30 on 20 shots, he's going to get 10 free throw attempts. He's going to get 10 free throw attempts a game. He'll still get his 30 plus, and they can win.
Like, there's another part of that. I think you're onto something here strategically. Shooting less could keep him able to be better in the final 5 minutes.
Yes. Well, he's working. He's working hard.
I think one of the problems with his efficiency, though, is whether it's the eye, whether it's the knee, whether it's both, which I think it probably is.
Sure.
That mid-range jumper's gone. And that was what kept him so efficient during the year. And I think what has happened is he has become a player who's really just shooting. he's posting up and he's shooting threes, and that's it. And I think part of the reason that he hasn't been quite as efficient, why he's shooting, I think he's shooting 39 or 40% for the series, is that shot, which, by the way, was the key to his entire game.
Oh, his mid-range game. I love it. I love his mid-range game.
And it's been gone. Yeah. And it's been gone for one reason or another. I think that's the tough
part.
Can
it come back?
Can they come back?
Can it come back? His mid-range.
I don't know.
You think that's the knee?
I think it's the knee and the eye. I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I don't know that it's conditioning. You can see when he's shooting it, he's fading away.
He's playing 40 minutes a game. Yeah. I don't think it's conditioning.
Yeah, I don't think that's it either. I think it's the knee and I think it's the eye. And he doesn't have any lift. You know, he never did this during the season. He's fading on those shots. He never fades away on those shots. He's 7'2". What does he need to fade away for?
Because he looks like Kobe when he fades away, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. You know. And I think Drew's in town tonight.
Drew.
Hanlon.
Oh, he is.
Think so?
Yeah.
Shot doctor.
Shot.
Well, and they're going to get a favorable whistle.
Yes, they are. They are. And you know, I think there's a big difference between Nick Nurse and Morey complaining about the whistle and fans and players complaining about it. Morey and Nurse, I want to complain about the whistle. That has an effect. Fans blaming it on the loss on it is it's not going to get you anywhere. It doesn't make you feel any better, and it doesn't change the game. I think Nurse and Morey complaining about it could change the whistle, especially it being in Philadelphia and after those two games. So I think they're going to come back and win the series. Huh. I do.
Okay.
I do. I think they're going to come back and win the series. They're going to win tonight, and then everybody else is going to.
Is that a game seven in New York?
I think it'll be.
You only have two options.
Option one,
four in a row. Yeah. Option two is win three or four and then win game seven up there.
I mean, think they win game seven in New York.
Embiid, signature game in Madison Square Garden. I love it.
And by the way, that goes to what I was saying last week, in that if there is an Embiid signature game in Madison Square Garden, then they win the series in seven games. This doesn't sound like anything I've ever said before. I don't care what happens in the set. I care, but that means that this was a successful year for Joel.
I just think it is.
He has a signature game in Madison Square Garden after being down 2-0 with one leg and one eye. Absolutely. I'm telling you, it does.
One leg and one eye.
What, is he a pirate?
Yeah. He is. He is a little bit like a pirate. So I am leaving. DeCamera is leaving. But you at home is getting Joe Giglio, Hugh Douglas. Ike is staying. Oh, Fritzy's leaving?
Yeah,
too?
No, okay. I think I'm out. Fritz is staying.
No, I'm leaving.
You're out? Am I here or not?
I don't know.
I think you're here.
I think you have the hour off.
What are you doing? What are you doing today?
I got a rehearsal dinner.
He does. He's
he
got
has
the
a
wedding.
Rehearsal dinner?
That's why he's not with us tomorrow.
Dude.
I'm giving a best man speech tomorrow.
Dude, don't ever say you got a rehearsal dinner on air again, man.
I got to go.
Don't ever say that on air.
Why?
Because the NFL draft, I don't care about your rehearsal dinner. What do you need to do at the rehearsal dinner?
Yeah.
Be present. What do I?
Anyway, the Eagles, thank you, Joe DeCamera.
My pleasure.
Joe, your prediction, what do they do tonight?
The Sixers win and the Eagles draft a cornerback.
At 22 or they trade up?
They trade up.
Jack, what's your prediction?
The Sixers win. It's because of Buddy Hield, who stinks. And they trade up and they go get Brock Bowers.
They're taking an offensive lineman at 22.
If they do, I'm picketing outside the Nova Care.
This hour has been brought to you by Mount Holly Nissan. New 2024 Nissans are arriving daily at Mount Holly Nissan, minutes from everywhere, just over the bridge, online at mthollynissan.com. Look, I know next is the Eagles draft show. I know Hugh is here. I know Joe is here. As for the others, Howard will be here. Elliot will be here. Ike will be here all night. It's going to be a huge show. And if you're coming down, make sure you come over and say hello, especially while they're on the air. Just while they're talking on the air, wave and say hello. Ask Ike to sign something. Otherwise, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.